Undivided Heart.
On this day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and
be glad.
We're on the fifth Sunday in Lent, and we have special guests with us to help share the Word of God with us here at St. Mark's. You've already been introduced to one of our guests with us, Susan Lunenberg. She's a Christian songwriter, artist, and so we welcome her talents among us as she'll lead the music through worship today. And her husband, Pastor Kurt Lunenberg, he serves as the director of the Ministry of Christian Giving. So they've come from Milwaukee looking for a little change of pace and weather. We welcome them as we're in the midst of our Stewardship Emphasis Month. And so that word, which sometimes curdles people's blood, well, we want to help understand what stewardship is and what it is not. It's not just money. It's management of all that God has given to us. And as Christian stewards, we are properly motivated by the cross of Christ to live our life in a way that is God-pleasing. And so we welcome the Lunenburgs as they help keep that focus among us from God's Word through our worship today. The worship service is printed out for us, including the songs for today, the hymns. You can refer to the hymnal if you would like, but the words are printed out for us today in the bulletin. God bless you in our worship of Him. Let us turn our attention to our opening hymn, and I direct our attention to Susan as she will introduce this for us.
I invite you to sing with me on all the verses of this hymn, and I'll bring you in at the beginning of each verse. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is your help and salvation. Let all who hear now to His temple draw near, joining in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things is wondrously reigning. And as on wings of an eagle uplifting, sustaining. Have you not seen all that His needful has been sent by His gracious ordaining?
Please stand. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from You all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of Your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in You. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await Your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated.
We join in the song of praise. Oh, for a thousand tongues that we would praise our Lord. Please note verses 3 and 5 are solos. Can I please have the music up just a little bit?
Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. On this fifth Sunday in Lent and also Stewardship Emphasis Weekend and Month, our first reading comes to us from 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. Where do our blessings come from and how are we to use them properly? King David gives us a fine example as he was setting aside his blessings for the temple of the Lord. We hear these words, "Then King David said to the whole assembly, 'My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God: gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple: 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today?' Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work in the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron.
Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jael the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." This is the word of our Lord.
That loving God never changes. His mercies are new every morning, and he gives to us forgiveness every day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Use of our time would be to read the words before us that are printed as our second lesson, but those aren't the words that are selected for this day. We want to read from chapter 8. Those words from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 put the focus on the fact that
our ability to give is an act of grace on God's part, this God who does not change. And so I'll hear these words, or you'll hear these words, though they are not printed. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as we had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of our Lord.
Jesus Christ, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet this gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet. So lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Please rise for the gospel reading. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 14th chapter. What are we saving it up for? Our wealth, that is.
But God is not so interested as much in our wealth as he is in our hearts. We hear these words of our Lord. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Please join me on all verses of Brothers, Sisters, Let Us Gladly.
Jesus Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Our text for this morning was read a few moments ago from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 14. Dear brothers and sisters, you may know the name Gustave Doré. He was an artist who gained fame for painting the faces of Jesus. And one time while he was working on one of his masterpieces, a woman silently entered his studio and
was admiring the work that he was doing. Not long after that, he noticed that she was there and said, "Oh, pardon me, madam, I didn't realize that you were there." And then she said, "Monsieur Doré, you must love Jesus very much to be able to paint him so beautifully." "Love him, madam?" Doré replied. "I do love him, but if I loved him more, I would paint him better." This is true also of our lives as Christian caretakers. The more we love Jesus, the better we will be able to serve him by devoting the many spiritual and physical blessings that he has freely and richly given us. In our gospel for today, we see this kind of love, Christ's love and the Christian's love in action. And it helps us realize that the love that Jesus enables and commends in us is an extravagant love. You heard the story one day while Jesus and his disciples, this is during Holy Week, were having a meal at the house of Simon the leper, probably in thanks for healing that Simon had received from our Lord and Savior. A woman silently walked in with a jar, an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume. She broke the jar and poured it over the head of Jesus. That only took a few seconds to tell the story. But what extravagant, over-the-top, excessive love it seems this woman had for the Lord. We know from another gospel that this woman was named Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. Now we're told that the onlookers estimated that the perfume she poured on Jesus' head that day had a value of about a year's worth of wages. Just think of what you earn in a year. Thousands of dollars in our modern currency. We can assume that Mary probably saved for a long period of time and planned how she would purchase this perfume and look forward eagerly to the day when she would pour it on Jesus. But you're probably wondering, why would anyone do such a thing, spend a year's worth of assets on the Lord? Well, Mary's motive was her love for her Savior, who first loved her. We know from Scripture how Mary had seen with her own eyes Jesus' powerful resurrection might, raising her brother Lazarus from the dead after he had been buried for 4 days. So Mary knew that Jesus had been tenderly kind to her family and that he had all power. But Mary knew more about Jesus and that he was a miracle worker. She had sat by his feet and heard him proclaim to her the rule of the gracious, forgiving God in her heart and in the hearts of other people. She knew that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ promised for ages in the Old Testament, her rescuer from sin's guilt and hell's punishment. By the Holy Spirit's gracious work in Mary's heart, she had tasted of the powerful and extravagant love of God for her, her family, and for the rest of the world, and she wanted to willingly and joyfully respond in return. Have you ever thought of God's love for you as extravagant, excessive, over the top? It does seem that way at times. How could God forgive someone like me? How could he wipe away my sins with the life of his holy, precious Son? But he does love us and all sinners that way. The Apostle John explained it this way: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Think for a moment of what we were like by nature. We hated God, wanted nothing to do with him. We're totally oblivious to his word and his will for us. And because of that, God justifiably could have sentenced me and all of us to eternal punishment in hell. But God chose not to do that because of his extravagant love. And in his extravagant love for us, he sent his best and only treasure, his one and only Son, into this world to be perfect in our place and to be punished for our sins. Oh, what love the Heavenly Father has poured on us that we should be called the children of God, and yet that is what we are. Because of Jesus' selfless, substitutionary life and the death that he endured for us on the cross, God has completely pardoned and forgiven you and me for every one of our sins. Now heaven's doors are wide open, just waiting for the time when our Heavenly Father wants to bring us through them to our final home. So in appreciation for God's extravagant love for her, Mary extravagantly loved Jesus. Christ's extravagant love for us is the main reason why we want to be over the top and excessive in our love back to him and the other people that he puts in our lives. And each, of course, according to our ability, according to what God has given us. We heard earlier how David and the leaders of the Israelites expressed their extravagant love for the Lord and the gifts that they brought, each according to what they had been given. We heard how the Macedonians, out of their poverty, extravagantly loved the Lord who first loved them. And in our own lives, we pray that God would, through his Spirit, give us more and more of this deep and abiding and fervent, extravagant love for the Lord as he has extravagantly loved us. Unfortunately, Mary's extravagant love for her Lord was met with words of criticism by other people at the dinner at the house of Simon the leper. They said, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." This is one of those stories from Jesus' ministry that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And in John's account of this story, he tells us that Judas was the one who led the scorn. Not because Judas was so concerned about the poor. You see, he was keeper of the treasury for Jesus and the disciples, and he wanted more money to go into that treasury because it was his custom to pull out some of those funds to use for himself. But the other disciples joined in this criticism. You wonder why. Were they maybe ashamed at the extravagant love Mary showed Jesus and how it put their love, maybe which wasn't as extravagant, in a poor light? Were they trying to maybe cover up their lack of love? There may have been some point in the past when you have caught yourself feeling some resentment toward a fellow Christian that maybe you know or don't know, when it seemed that they were serving the Lord more faithfully or giving more generously than you. I know there have been times when I felt the extravagant love that I've seen in other Christians had made me feel ashamed of my weak love, or even times I felt jealous or critical. When a special project or offering comes from God's people to the Lord's work here at St. Mark's, have you ever caught yourself thinking, we really don't need that? Or it's not necessary for us to spend so much money, energy, and time on that project. As you prayerfully consider your congregation's ministry plan to get the good news of Jesus to people in this community, in our region, and around the world, have you ever thought, oh, that seems like a little too much to be sending away to help the worldwide work of training gospel ambassadors and putting them in our mission fields? Sometimes people complain about the generous gifts that other Christians give, like the disciples complained about Mary's gifts. Or they may grumble when they are asked to prayerfully look at all that God has given them and then respond as generously as the Lord has blessed them. Then there may be times when we have said, you know, those monies could be used for a different purpose. At those times, could it be that our sinful nature is maybe thinking, no, the money is better spent on me or on the things that are close to my heart? Okay, let's be honest about this. We've all had times when we've felt this way. And you know what our real problem is? We don't love Jesus enough. In other words, we haven't come to as full of a heartfelt appreciation for the Lord's extravagant, unending, generous love for us. The problem isn't that there's not enough money, time, or abilities that God has given His church. The problem is our weak love. It needs to be increased in us by God's blessing. Okay, so now that we've found the problem, how are we going to solve it? For the times when each of us has had varying degrees of love for the Lord who first loved us, the solution isn't for us to just try harder, but it's to focus ourselves more on the extravagant love that God has had for us. And that's where the good news of Jesus comes in, which God freely gives us in what we call His means of grace. The good news of Jesus as He dispenses it to us for free in His word and in His sacraments. Once again, this is pretty simple. So what we want to do to build our extravagant love for the Lord who loved us over the top is to listen to the good news of Jesus more regularly in our daily lives. It's maybe to remember each day that we have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we're His dear children. It's to come regularly to the Lord's table where we get to eat and drink the very body and blood that our Savior freely poured out to cover the world's sins and ours included. When that happens, God promises that the Holy Spirit is actively warming our hearts, filling them more and more with the love that Jesus has had for us, and we will see our hearts more fully, more regularly, more extravagantly reflect that love back to our Lord and to the people around us. And I'll admit that growing in an appreciation of God's love for us does take some effort in our part. It means attending our worship services more regularly, getting into God's Word, discussing it with our loved ones on a more consistent basis, receiving the Lord's Supper when it's offered. Of course, that's why we're here this morning, so that we can reflect more on the extravagant love that God has had for us and then lovingly and extravagantly respond to Him in love. Now, God willing, the messages that you've heard during this stewardship month at St. Mark's will take a deep root in your heart so that you better know Christ's love for you and so that you're better able to devote all that He has given you to say thank you to Him in an extravagantly loving way. Now, you may not have an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume that you can pour out to Jesus, but you've been given, each according to your ability, wonderful income and assets that you can use to provide for your loved ones, to help the poor, to support the government, and first of all, to extravagantly express love to Jesus, your Savior. You may not be able to give a year's worth of income in a gift right now, but you may be able to provide that kind of gift to the Lord when He's taking your soul safely home to heaven. It can be part of your Christian estate plan. That's one reason that our Ministry of Christian Giving offers free and confidential service to God's people here in Citrus Heights and around our country. Not so that we can try to grab something from you, but so that we can help you express your extravagant love in gifts now and at life's end to the Lord, while at the same time you're taking care of the other people and ideas that are close to your heart. So the point is, as you and I become better versed in God's extravagant love for us, we're going to see His extravagant love come pouring out from us often at unexpected times or in very specifically planned times like it was with Mary. And we're all in the grow on this, from me to you and you to me. And if anyone criticizes you for your expression of extravagant love for the Lord, then remember this text, how Jesus commended and defended the extravagant love that Mary showed to the Lord. He said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." How good to know that while the world may look at our offerings differently, Jesus looks at our hearts, our offerings. Therefore, we don't need to feel troubled or heartbroken when others describe our offerings, whether it's money or time or talent, as if it's a waste. Jesus knows what's in our heart, and he won't crush us. What a mighty incentive for us to offer Jesus our gifts of extravagant love in response to his extravagant love for us, and to spur one another on to such love and good deeds. To that end, may the Holy Spirit enable us to keep loving Jesus extravagantly. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's join our hearts and voices in confessing our Christian faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed on page 9 of our service folder.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated.
Bless we pour every cross we wear.
Heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live who gives us all. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, if it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Continue to provide the physical care and healing needed for all who we love and cherish, including LaVon Casey, who has been entered into hospice care. For her attention and that of all who are enduring physical affliction, on what you have done for them, continue to focus that attention due to your amazing grace, as what you have done to meet our spiritual needs does not change, though our physical circumstances may change. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. Continue to bless those among us who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Renew these couples' love for their respective spouse as they reflect on your great love for them. We bring these requests before you, O Lord, in Jesus' name, and also pray as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
I would invite you to join me on Beautiful Savior on verses 2 and 3.
Thank you.
We pray. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
I invite you to join us on the final hymn. I love to tell the story. Now that we are inspired by God's word and know what Jesus has done for us, let's share that message with the people around us. Verse 1 and 2, following that, following verse 1 and the refrain, there's a musical interlude, so please allow me to direct you back in on verse 2. Join me on I Love to Tell the Story. Tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies Jesus and his love.
extravagant love at that, too. Thank you very much, and appreciate the appreciation that you received for sharing God's word with us through word and song. So thank you for being here. Pastor Lunenberg will also be leading us in a presentation in our Bible study hour as we continue to focus on what stewardship is and what it is not, primarily today focusing, again, proper management of stewardship, God's gifts, planned giving, included with that, the estate planning, but it'll be a wider topic than that. We've already focused on time and talent, and this is another important aspect of stewardship, and it's not all about money. It's an opportunity to leave a legacy, a Christian legacy. So hopefully you can stay for that. And then regarding the music that Susan writes and sings, there are CDs available in the lobby, so please take a look. You may help yourself, she has said. A donation is welcome, but not necessary. So just go and share the message that those CDs offer. The Word of God is powerful through word and song. So those are available for you. Thanks to the Praise and Proclaim Warriors who went out yesterday in Orangevale and knocked on doors. Seeds were planted. We appreciate that opportunity to get the word out and bring people to our campus so that they can hear the Easter message that Jesus Christ is risen. And along with that, that he died for our sins so that we could be at one with God. And then because he lives, we too shall live. So please see the weekly news and the bulletin board for other events taking place throughout Holy Week that will bring people onto our campus so that we can share the word with them, and also opportunities to be good managers of our time and resources as there are ways to volunteer. So again, direct you to the weekly news for those opportunities as well as the bulletin board. Our last midweek Wednesday Lenten service is coming up this Wednesday, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. Time goes fast. Supper at 5:30. Supper will be hosted this time by the choir. They will have good food for us. The Bowers, Matt, still keep our Mr. Bauer, our principal, in your prayers as he continues to deliberate the call to serve as principal at Great Plains Lutheran High School in Watertown, South Dakota, along with holding the call that he has here currently at St. Mark's. And then in addition, please keep Sarah in your prayers, not just because she's the husband of Matt, and that's a prayer in and of itself, right? But she also has received a call to teach fourth grade at St. Martin's in Watertown, South Dakota. So many things for them to think over and ponder, so we keep them in our prayers. Campus cleanup on the 24th, keep that in mind. Let's help our building and grounds team. They do great work throughout the year, but here's an opportunity especially for all of us to help them out on the 24th. There's the whiteboard out there in the lobby for ways to sign up and be of help. Some not as intense as other tasks. So again, please, if you can, make the opportunity to sign up and be here on the 24th. If you have not had a moment to return your 2018 thank offering commitment form, it'd be helpful if you would return that ASAP. It is used to one degree to help with our ministry financial plan as we are a fiscal year 2018-19, so we'd appreciate those being returned. For those who have done so already, thank you very much. And the last thing here, the LWMS, our group, we are showing our support to our missionaries. So we have Easter cards there on the by the bulletin board on the shelf. So please take the time to sign those cards. They'll be sent to our missionaries. That's a great way to show God's extravagant love to them as we keep them in our prayers as well. You are a blessing. May God continue to bless each and every one of you. And so may you say hi to each and every one of you. Now, I thought of this the other day. You know, Pastor Groth and I, we have pretty easy names to remember. How you doing, Pastor, right? So I thought we would name all the men in the congregation Jim and all the women Jill. And so if you can't remember someone's name, just call them Jim or Jill, and we'll go from there. Just kidding. Have a great day in the Lord. Greet one another.